Outrage as India orders removal of social media posts. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vishala Sripathma in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. For 4 days in a row now, India has registered a world daily record rise in COVID-19 infections, with just under 350,000 new cases confirmed in the past 24 hours. Chronic shortages of beds and oxygen have left hospitals in hotspots like the capital Delhi pleading publicly for relief as patients die for want of treatment, even whilst they wait to be seen. The US, UK and European Union have now pledged help, sending ventilators and the raw materials for vaccines. But as the outbreak rages, the Indian government has ordered some posts on Twitter to be taken down. Here's the BBC's Sachin Gogoi, who tracks media in India for us.
There have been Twitter posts which critics say have been quite innocuous and did not really spread any misinformation as regard to the pandemic, which is raging now. One example of what was removed was a post by a politician who directly accused the Prime Minister of causing the pandemic, of failing to prevent it, which the government has forced Twitter to remove from the platform.
And how have Twitter reacted to this?
So far, we haven't seen any resistance from Twitter. There was confirmation from Twitter that they have been asked by the government to remove certain tweets. But there was a huge row a couple of months back. That was the time when the Indian government actually put on record threatening the platform that unless they abide by the government directions, Twitter executives would be arrested and jailed for not complying with the law of the land. Twitter was essentially forced to remove some of the content which the government wanted to be removed from the platform.
How are, anecdotally, people around you feeling about this?
It has generated a lot of debate and criticism on social media. A lot of people are accusing the government of not doing enough to provide oxygen to the people who are suffering because of the pandemic, rather going after tweets which were critical of the government position or the government's handling of the pandemic.
BBC Sachin Gogoi, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers now. Markets in Europe are flat as investors brace themselves for a bumper data week as earnings season kicks off. To holidays now. Dreaming of Florentines and gelatos in Europe, are you? Well, Americans who've been fully vaccinated against COVID may soon be allowed to travel to the EU. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen told the New York Times this should be possible as both sides have approved the same vaccines. It comes as more European countries ease their restrictions with vaccine rollouts ramping up. The BBC's Europe correspondent Nick Beek reports.
In the country that was the first to declare a national lockdown last year, today's relaxing of some rules is widely welcomed. The vast majority of the Italian population will be able to return to local restaurants for outdoor lunch and dinner. But the terraces and piazzas won't be bustling with tourists, as arrivals to the country still need to quarantine. A nationwide overnight curfew also remains in place. In France, nursery and primary school pupils are going back to lessons after 3 weeks away, with secondary age students returning next week. The loosening of restrictions reflect a dip in new COVID cases across the EU.
The BBC's Nick Beek. So over the last few decades, people have been migrating from rural areas to big cities in search of work. But the pandemic has potentially reversed that trend in the United Kingdom. The BBC's Kevin Peachey reports now on the historic British fishing villages of Cornwall.
In lockdown, a whole host of people have been wondering why they live in a place like this. When they could have this on their doorstep instead. Working from home has changed priorities during the COVID crisis. There's the search for space inside and outside. For many, that's meant moving out of the city to the countryside or coast. After all, when you don't need to go into the office, why put up with a cramped, overpriced apartment? In Britain, that's meant a property boom in Cornwall, in the far southwest of England, with a dramatic coastline, idyllic coves, and, some would say, a more leisurely outlook on life. Property website Rightmove says it's overtaken London as the most searched location for a home.
We've got lots of outside space. The beaches are on our doorstep.
Cornish real estate agent Emma Ward says the call of the seaside by migrating office workers means she's had to work hard to meet demand.
It's by far the busiest time of my career. I started in 2007 at the peak of the market at the time then, before the crash.
Buyers have come from the UK's biggest cities of London, Birmingham and Manchester, but from international postcodes too. Among those moving during the COVID crisis was American Marshall Moore.
I think it's gorgeous. I'm getting used to the wind and the rain. I feel like I'm just incredibly lucky to have kind of crash-landed here. The pace of life here is more like what I've been looking for.
Dr. Moore, a creative writing academic, has spent the previous 15 years living in the megacities of Seoul and Hong Kong before moving to Cornwall.
I'm 50 years old. I literally never been turned down for a flat in my life when I've applied for one. So the fact that I didn't kind of have my choice of them here was a big WTF moment.
With demand directed at coastal towns like Cornwall offering more space, 5-bedroom home sales have shown the biggest rise in the last year, up by 38%. Conversely, the lack of demand in major UK city centres has led to a double-digit fall in the cost of rent. So when COVID restrictions ease, offices reopen and the bright lights of the city go back on, market forces may force people back into their older ways of life and work. In London, I'm the BBC's Kevin Peachey for Marketplace.
And on easing restrictions, according to dating apps, nothing spells sexy in 2021 than I've been vaccinated. Apps have reported a surge in users divulging whether they've been jabbed and photos to prove it. In London, I'm Vishala Sripathna with the Marketplace Warning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.